morning. Let's rise to our feet and open in a word of prayer. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We thank you this morning, eternal Father, for your grace, for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you for the blood of Christ. Thank you for adopting us into your family, for making us your sons and your daughters. Thank you for the church and for this time that we can spend together here this morning. God, as we open your word, as we desire to learn from it, as we desire to have another glimpse of you this morning, we pray, Father, that you would give us hearts and ears to hear and to understand the word of God and how to apply it to our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would give us grace to embrace your truths and your word and your precepts and to live them out in a very real and practical way. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the service here, the time that we have together. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn in your Bibles for the opening texts to Esther, the book of Esther, chapter 1. I know I always say this, but this, as I came across this message probably close to 2 months ago, as I read this chapter and this text, something just popped out at me, and I felt like the Lord was showing me a truth. And so I've known for some time that I was going to preach on this. And if I prepare and study for a message, I have my certain things that I do and my ways of studying and searching things out. I typically like to look for messages pertaining to the subject and listen and get other perspective, get ideas and get thoughts and learn from others and dig into the topic. That way, on this subject, I could find absolutely no messages, none. And then I even searched from the text, and I couldn't find anything there either. So I was left just to kind of wing it. So the message this morning will be somewhat scattered. The thoughts will all pertain to the subject at hand. But I did have some difficulty and some apprehensions about this. So I hope and pray that by the end of the message, it will all come together and that you'll have grace with me, and that by the end of the message, we'll be able to make some application to our individual lives and see how this thing pertains to all of us. So Esther, the book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 120 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes and the provinces being before him. When he shewed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 84 score. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days, in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red, blue, and white, and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law, none did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Verse 9, also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mahuman, Bistha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zathar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to shew the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. And remember, this is the Ahasuerus that had an incredible temper. He was very, very short-fused and moody. So he is angry here, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew the law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Maris, Mershna, and Mamukin, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and which sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law, because she had not performed the commandments of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? So he's asking his wise men for counsel what he should do here. And Mamukin answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen had not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes, and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king, and when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Mamukin. And he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. Now, I could ask you this morning for some guesses as to what it is that I want to speak about. I'm not going to do that. But the principle that I want to talk about is found here in this context. It is a principle that reaches into all areas of our life. It is a very important and valuable principle, but it is worthy to note that it is a principle that is not a truth. There is a difference between truth and this principle. Although the principle is often true, it is not truth in and of itself. So I want you to remember that. It is something that courts and judges heavily rely on and depend on when they pass judgment and when they hand down sentences to convicted criminals and felons. It is also used a lot in the sports world when they negotiate salaries for pro athletes, and not necessarily only in the sports world, but also in all kinds of industries and professions and careers. This principle is used to negotiate salaries and the like. Although the word is never used in the Bible, it is a principle that is found from cover to cover. In one way, shape, form, or another, this is part of every culture, every environment, and every society. even in our background, the Hutterite background that many of us come from, this principle is also used a lot in conversation earlier this week. It came up, the idea that many of us would have heard growing up, you go and ask the authorities to do something, and the response is, no, you can't, you're not allowed to, because that would be starting something new. This principle is the reason why they give that answer. And if you agree or disagree, I'm not saying that that is the right answer in every case, but in many cases, because of this principle, that is a good and solid answer. That's a good and solid answer to give, to allow or not to allow something. And this is also something that maybe parents will understand more than children or teenagers will. The word itself is derived from something that came before, which is, it speaks in the past tense, but it can easily be used to justify something in the present or in the future. The principle that I want to speak about this morning is the principle of precedent. The principle of precedent. The word precedent comes from the word preceding, which means it came from before, in that it preceded and it serves as an example. Some of the definitions of the word is an earlier event or action that is regarded as an example or a guide to be considered in subsequent similar circumstances. An earlier occurrence of something similar, something that may serve as an example or a rule to be followed in the future. Something done or said that may serve as an example or a rule to authorize or justify a subsequent act of the same kind. A person or a thing that serves as a model. And here's the one that I like the most. A previous action or decision that can be used as a reason for allowing something else. The word precedent, as I said, is not a biblical word, but the principle of precedent is found in Scripture from cover to cover. As we read in our opening text, the counsel given to King Ahasuerus by Memucan was solely based on the idea of precedent. Memucan said to the king, if you, how you're going to rule and how you're going to deal with this situation will set a precedent. It will set as an example. And then there will be repercussions, and there will be, this will have a chain effect, all, and it will affect everybody down into your kingdom, all the princes and all of the men, everyone in your kingdom will be affected by this. So he said, if you allow Queen Vashti to get away with this, this is now a new precedent. And this will act to serve as an example that women all over your kingdom will use to justify their disobedience to their husbands. So king, this not only affects you, but it affects everyone under you. This is setting a precedent. The king and all that were there agreed with Memucan, and a precedent was set that this is not okay. And the queen lost her throne because of her actions, and the order in the homes all over the kingdom was established that the man is the head of the home and the woman is to submit to her husband. The principle and the precedent was set. And as I said earlier in regards to when we would ask for something and they said, no, this is starting something new, because people in authority would generally understand that if you come here and you ask me for something and I say yes to you, then that will affect if Brother B or C comes to me and asks for something similar. If I've allowed you, I have to allow him. And then there are consequences. If you set a precedent, there are consequences to it. And so that will determine if I will allow or not allow. And oftentimes, the consequences will produce a no, and will be the reason and the justification of saying, no, I will not set this precedent. I will not begin this. The idea of precedent is used very regularly and often in the courts of law. If you study and search the word precedent, much of the definitions, a lot of the material, a lot of the websites, a lot of the stuff, a vast majority of the stuff that comes up pertains to lawyers, to courts, to judges, to rulings. They depend very, very heavily on this idea of precedent. There's a magazine called The Precedent. It's a magazine for lawyers because precedent pertains to law. Most quotes and statements, if you do a search, pertain to the law and the courts and rulings. If a ruling is made in a certain case, then that sets a precedent, and then later rulings will often refer to that as a benchmark and the precedent set in the case of Roe v. Wade or Bob v. Joe or whatever case they're going to cite. They will cite the precedent that was set and therefore justify that to use or to justify their sentence. Courts will often heavily rely on previous precedents that have been set to measure the degree of the severity or the lack thereof. So the precedent will be set on the upper side and on the lower side. If they're going to be handing down a severe sentence, there's going to be a precedent on that side of the scale. And if they're going to hand down a lenient sentence, there will also be a precedent on that side of the scale as well. Another word that will give us more of an idea or help us to understand the word precedent, or maybe just another perspective of it, is the word unprecedented. Unprecedented simply means without precedent. So if something is unprecedented, that means that there is no example, there is no precedent for it. And unprecedented is a word that we will undoubtedly all be familiar with, as it was used often during the COVID pandemic that we went through a few years ago. We often heard that it was unprecedented because there was no precedent that they could refer to and measure an appropriate response by. Governments took unprecedented responses to COVID, and they spent unprecedented amounts of money and brought countries into unprecedented amounts of death, not of debt. Because there was no precedent, it leaves things very open and it leaves a lot of room for error and for mistakes and for wrong responses. And boy, were there ever many of those made. The chances of getting it right without having a precedent are greatly diminished, and therefore many decisions are made, many decisions and responses are made in the wrong way. We follow precedent almost subconsciously when we compare one situation to another and one set of circumstances to another. As believers this morning, our precedent should be the Word of God. Our precedent is the Word of God. Everything gets held up and measured to that standard. There are many, many precedences in the Word of God that we can look at. We're not going to look in depth at any one of them this morning, because we're just going to generally look at some of them or just mention them in passing. Jesus is the greatest precedent setter in history. He set precedents in many, many different areas, in humility, in servanthood, in sacrificial love, in giving, in preaching, in healing, in forgiveness, in purity, in holiness, in prayer and devotion to God. Jesus set the precedent and the benchmark that we should aspire to in all of those areas. Some other examples that of how Jesus set precedent is in Ephesians, Paul refers to, he says, husbands, love your wives. How? Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The precedent that we have as husbands to love our wives is the one that Jesus set. We ought to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. One other example that came to mind is found in John 13, and I want to read that text. Starting in verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he saith, Ye are not all clean. So after that he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. I have set a precedent for you, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Jesus set an example and a precedent for us to follow. He did a tangible act of service. It wasn't just an idea or a theory, but he actually got a basin of water and he got down on his knees and he washed his disciples' feet, thus setting a precedent and an example for us and his disciples to follow. Setting an example of what servanthood looks like. The King of the universe, the Creator of all things, washing the feet of his creation. A greater discrepancy between the top and the bottom, the Lord and the Master of all, going to the lowliest and the servants of all. I don't think there's going to be more of an example of that. A selfless act of service, thus setting a precedent. He set the precedent of love. The greatest act of love and sacrificial giving was displayed to us on the cross when Jesus willingly laid down his life for us, when he took upon himself our sin and our curse and paid that price. Another precedent he set would be one of forgiveness, even as they were mocking him and as he was crucified. His heart was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. 1 Peter 2:21, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, leaving us a precedent, a bar, a benchmark, something that we can look to and aspire to and desire to be like and to become like. Jesus set a precedent, giving us a model for our lives. There are many other precedents in Scripture, some examples that we can look at. Some examples that I can mention here this morning would be Job. Job set the precedent in losing everything and yet still keeping that perspective and saying, though he slay me, yet will I worship him. And saying, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is a precedent that we can look at today and say, this is how we ought to respond when we come across these difficulties and hardships in our life. We can look to Joseph this morning in moral purity. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? When he was faced with a temptation, he fled, he ran from it. A precedent that we can look to and be inspired to and aspire to become like. Abraham, and friendship with God and having faith in God, he is to this day called the father or referred to as the father of faith and a friend to God. He had so much faith in God that when God asked him to sacrifice his beloved son, he believed that God would raise him from the dead because God would be faithful in the promises that he had made. Moses, in meekness, Numbers 12, 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. In hearing and accepting and taking on all of the ridicule and the complaining and everything that he heard, still having that servant's heart, when God was ready to wipe out the entire nation of Israel, Moses standing in that gap saying, just take me. Don't use, these are your people. It's your name. And pleading for God in that way. Another precedent setter would be David in overcoming giants against all odds. Even in the secular world, whenever there's a situation, be it in a sports match or in a business dealing or in whatever it might be, if there's a situation where the odds are highly stacked against one from another, that's the David and Goliath situation. Everybody knows about David and Goliath. That's a precedent that David set of what you can do when you trust God and when you put your faith in him. The Apostle Paul, in living sold out for the kingdom of God. Esther, in selfless sacrifice, if I perish, I perish. Ruth, in leaving and cleaving, your people will be my people and your God will be my God. But precedents can also be set in the negative way. We can think about Pharaoh this morning. Think about a hardened heart and where that can bring you. You think about the person who had the worst day in history. I think of Haman. He woke up that morning early to go to the king to ask if he could hang his mortal enemy before the day of execution came for all Jews. And then he ended up having to parade that enemy through the streets. And then by the end of the day, he ended up hanging on those gallows that he had built for someone else. Saul, if you think about disobedience, Samuel said obedience is better than sacrifice. That is a precedent of disobedience that we do not want to follow. Then there's one of pride goes before the fall. And this text I want to read, it's found in Daniel chapter 4, because there's two precedents that are set here, one from the top down and the other from the bottom up. And this is about King Nebuchadnezzar. Pride goes before the fall. The same hour, it says, was the thing fulfilled. And this was, he had a dream, and he asked Daniel in to interpret the dream. Daniel tells him what the dream means. And here's what happens, what follows immediately after. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I lifted up, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in his army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is also able to abase. He is able to take the king of the most powerful empire on the world and diminish him to an ox in the field. And he is also able to take that ox in the field and raise him back up to the king of the most powerful nation. Another example of a precedent set would be lying is evil, Ananias and Sapphira. Another one that set a precedent in a negative way would be Demas. The world is a very present lure. There's a precedent set of someone that was laboring alongside the Apostle Paul. In one of his letters, Paul refers to him as his servant, his helper, his fellow laborer. And then in a later letter, he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. That is a precedent that we do not want to be a part of. 1 Corinthians 10:6, now these things were written for our examples, and he refers back to all that happened with the children of Israel. But we have even a greater account. We have the full Old and New Testament. These things were written for our examples, for our precedents, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted after. We look to and we learn from these examples and these precedences on how to and how not to act in given situations and circumstances. We all follow in one way, shape, or form this rule or this idea of precedent, of setting precedents, and we refer to acts or events in the past, and we measure and gauge the outcome or our expectations of current situations accordingly to it. Oftentimes, our expectations are set by previous precedents. For example, if you were to go and ask your boss for a raise, and he would be harsh and would brush you off and be very hard and unkind, you would not be very inclined to go back in half a year or a year and ask him again because of that negative precedent that he set. Where on the other hand, if you go to your boss and you ask for a raise and he is accommodating and he is understanding and he agrees to that you've earned it, you deserve it, then sure, no problem, and he gives it to you, no problem. If that is your precedent and that is your expectation, then you are more likely to go back and ask for another in the future. So it is in home life and in church life and in our personal walk. We are constantly setting precedents and examples that we measure things and events and relationships by. In our personal life, how much time do we spend praying and reading the Word of God? If our devotional life is like getting a fast food burger instead of a good nutritional meal, then we'll never get far and we'll never have that deep relationship and that deep walk with God. We can't settle for low expectations and experiences. We need to raise the bar. We need to set that precedent higher. We need to aspire to have more of a deeper and a more meaningful devotional life. But if our bar and our precedent is down here, then we're going to be satisfied there. But my desire this morning is to have us aspire to more, to set our precedent higher, and to go for that. Some of our precedents are influenced by our peers, by the things that we listen to, by the books that we read, and by the people that we look up to. Spend time with people that are farther along and more spiritual than you are. People that can inspire you to become a better man. People that and a better man than a better woman. People that will inspire you to go deeper into God. People that will inspire you to study more, to search out the scriptures. People that will set that precedent higher. And the higher that precedent is set in our lives, the more we strive and press towards it, the farther we will come and the farther we will go. Don't sell out for a low precedent. Raise the bar high. Don't settle for a fast food diet. Learn to study, to dig in, to search the scriptures, to be a Berean. Have meaningful relationships, relationships that provoke you and your friends to good works. Be the one in your peer group that is that high precedent setter. Now, I think of years ago, almost 20 years ago now, I was in a friendship with one young man, and we were driving home from one late night from a community. We had visited some believers there to encourage them. We were trying to understand what it is about our relationship that that we both appreciated so much. And then his evaluation was this, and when he said it, I knew in my heart of hearts that he did the same for me at the time. And I'm not saying that it's still that way now, but this is an experience that I had. He said, the reason that whenever we leave, whenever we part our ways and we go our separate ways after the evening or the Sunday or our visit or our encounter or whatever, I always leave having this drive to dig into God, to search the scriptures, to become a better man, to pray more, to get a deeper Christian life. And I felt like in my heart, I felt like when I left him, that's exactly what I felt like doing. He had that effect on me as well. And I was grateful and thankful, and I still am to this day, for those kind of friendships and relationships. Young people, if you can have friends in your life that when you part after a half a day or a few hours or a day of fellowship or a week of Bible school and you go your way and you leave with that drive and that passion and that heart, that desire in your heart, those are the kind of friends that you want. Ones that push you and cause you to be better, a better person. Who is setting the precedence? How far can one go before he crosses a line? How much is too much? How much is not enough? On both ends of the spectrum, there's examples. One example that you could think of, even in church life and in church standards and what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, and what this idea of precedent does. If we have an understanding that it is a shame for a man to have long hair, and so there's none of our men that have long hair because we have that's a biblical precedent. There's a standard in the Word of God. That's just how it is. And so everybody has a haircut, and their hair are groomed and taken care of, and everything is decent and in order. Then one day I would decide to let my hair grow to 5 or 6, 7 inches. And nobody comes to talk to me. Nobody rebukes me. Nobody says, hey, brother, that I think you might be treading a line here. You might be setting a precedent. If nobody does that, and it's okay, and I get by with doing that, without a brother coming up to me and correcting me and having a conversation with me in love, that is now a precedent set in a negative way. But it is a precedent set that, okay, so I can get by with this much without getting rebuked or without getting admonished. And that's just one example. This can go into who knows what kind of areas. Then the next young man decides to grow a mullet or a flow, and where is it going to stop? Where's the precedent going to end? How far is it going to get pushed before it gets stopped? And again, that is not only setting the precedent for himself, but then there's all the other young people or married people or whoever that see it and see, okay, so this is the new precedent. This is the new example that was set. And so the precedent is set in a negative way. That can now be reflected back to and pointed as an example and something that happened that was done without consequence, and therefore it serves as a precedent. With dress code, with recreation, even with our houses, our vehicles, our possessions, we set examples, we set precedents that serve as benchmarks that others can and will use to justify their actions, their purchases, and their decisions. We may have a perfectly good reason to make the purchase that we did, but not everyone knows how good of a deal we got on that thing that we bought. They just see that we have it. And so they can rightly or wrongly follow our lead and use our actions to justify their decisions. There are times when we are free to do certain things and to purchase certain things and to enjoy certain pleasures. But if we consider the ones under us, some may struggle with the things that we are free from. And because of those under us and because of the precedent that we would be setting, we need to refrain from doing those things. And I am speaking as much to myself as I am to anyone here. I am not thinking of anybody in particular, more of myself than I would about any one of you. In the text, Mamukan told the king, this is not just about yourself. This is about your kingdom and about every single person underneath you. This will affect everyone. Paul would have considered this eating meat in 1 Corinthians 8:13. Wherefore, if I make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now, it is important again to state that precedent is not truth. There's a massive difference between a precedent and the truth, and they should never be mistaken one for another. Many precedents are truth, but they're not one and the same. Truth will always trump precedent, and truth should be our precedent. Some may use precedent as truth, but I think that will lead to no good end. In some cases, precedent can and it should be broken. If the precedent is set wrong, then it needs to be broken, and a new one needs to be set. Another thing that we can learn from the text is that influence that somebody has who is in authority is no small thing. If you are a leader, if you are in a place of authority, if you are a teacher, if you are a parent, your actions and your consequences go beyond just what it means to you and to me. People are watching, people are imitating, and people are following your lead. When you do something, you must not only consider what the decision is going to mean for you, but it will affect those under you, your family, your church, your students, your peers, and so on and so on. Again, the counsel given to King Ahasuerus, this is not only going to affect you, it'll affect everyone in your kingdom. So let us be careful and walk circumspectly, considering the precedents we set, thinking not only of ourselves, but also of the others that are under us and around us. In our Christian life and experience, we often refer back to the Bible and we look at the precedents and the measures and the acts that were taken, especially in the New Testament, by the church to establish the way we go about doing church and the way that we enact certain, be it ordinances or traditions, whatever it is. We look to the New Testament. What's the precedent in the New Testament? Some examples are for baptism. One gets converted. Okay, how soon after conversion does one get baptized? Well, let's look to the New Testament. We look to Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. We look to Peter and Cornelius. They got baptized immediately after conversion. So it is not unprecedented to get baptized right after you get saved. Precedent set. There's a New Testament precedent for when someone can get converted. How severe is a lie? Look to Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Ghost. They got struck down dead. That's the precedent of how severe a lie is. Another example of the precedent is found in Titus and Timothy when Paul lays out the qualifications of elders and deacons. He set the bar and he sets a precedent of what a man needs to look like in order to hold the office of an elder and a deacon. There are also doctrinal precedences that are set as well. For example, the precedent of what can someone do to commit a sin that cannot be forgiven or pardoned? Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is the precedent. And then in regards to divorce and remarriage, there's a precedent in the Word of God. It is forbidden. It allows the putting away only in the case of fornication, but never remarriage. This was a precedent in the church for centuries, until about 70 or 80 years ago. Then the precedent got challenged, and it got changed by one or two churches. And next thing you know, we're in the place now when the divorce rate in the church is 15% greater than it is in the world around them. in mainstream churches, evangelical churches. The precedent was changed. The bar was lowered, and then the floodgates were opened. First on divorce, then on homosexuality, then transgenderism, then abortion, and so on and so on. The church should be the conscience of society. And in many ways now it is no better in the society and the world that is around them. If Scripture is no longer the precedent, if we look to an experience or a certain teacher or a prophet, or if we twist and change and manipulate the Word of God to fit our life rather than to change our life to fit the Word of God and to align with Scripture, there is no end to what we will accept and what and to where our lives and our morals will go to. The principle of precedent is one that shows up everywhere. In many ways, it gives us expectations, and it also gives us limitations. Precedent is not truth, but if our precedents are from the Word of God, and we allow Scripture to set our precedent in every area of life and doctrine, then we will experience God's best. We will experience God's smile and His grace upon our lives. This affects every area of our personal life, of our church life, of our work life, and of our devotional life. We have precedence in things that are acceptable, and we all have certain expectations in our own personal lives. And this gets very, very practical as it reaches into everyday life. I'm not just talking about some abstract idea or philosophy out there. This is real. And some of the things that it looks like and some of the things that it affects are music, clothing, recreation, personal pleasure, fashion, how we spend our money, personal purity, our words and actions, the things we watch and allow our eyes to see. In all of these areas, there are precedents in our own lives. What is acceptable and how much or how little of them we are comfortable with doing. And once a precedent is set, it becomes norm, and that becomes the standard for our personal life. And that can be good or it can be bad. If it's a high precedent, that's fantastic. But if the bar is low, then it leads to backsliding, to lukewarmness, to a lackadaisical Christianity. Now, just in some of these areas, I want to challenge us, and again, I challenge myself with these questions. And in these areas, where am I at? Where is my bar? What is my precedent? In music, what kind of music am I listening to? Is it fleshly? Is it carnal? Is it sensual? Or does it edify and bring glory to God? My clothing and my fashion. What clothing do I wear? What precedent am I following, or what precedent am I setting with the clothing that I wear? Do I need to be cool and fashionable and in? Does my clothes need to be brand name and flashy and form-fitting? How much money do I spend on my wardrobe? What precedent am I setting for myself and for those around me with my clothing? In recreation, how much recreation do I have or need in my life? How much time and money do I spend on it? What precedent am I setting for myself and for others? With money, how do I spend my money? Am I a wise steward of what God has entrusted to me? How much do I spend on myself and my own desires? Do I give to others? Do I tithe to the Lord? What precedent am I setting for myself and for others? Personal purity. Am I keeping myself pure and undefiled? What am I allowing my eyes to see? Who am I allowing to influence me? How high is the bar for purity in my life? Am I walking in victory and overcoming? Or am I settling for a precedent that is just way, way low? Words and actions. Am I careful with the words that I speak? Do I speak with kindness and care and concern? Are my actions Christ-like? Do I gossip about others? Or do I serve and wash others' feet? What precedent am I setting for myself and for others? The things I watch and allow my eyes to see. How much time am I spending looking at a screen? What is on that screen? Does it edify and build up, or does it cause struggle and bring the world into my life? We all have precedents and benchmarks and things, how far and how high we want to go and are going, and then are aspiring to go. And I hope that in all of these areas, we have aspirations that are far beyond where we are right now. And that our bar of precedent and our bar and our standard hasn't reached its top and its ceiling at our current experience. Let's be careful how we walk. Let us walk circumspectly, considering the precedents that we set and the precedents that we follow, not only for ourselves, but for others. Let's raise the bar. Let's honestly look at where we are at and consider the precedents that we have in our life and consider where we could grow and where we could raise that bar higher. If the precedent is good and if the bar is high and if it causes us to strive for God and to seek after Him, then praise the Lord. Let's keep pressing toward the mark. Let's keep moving toward that precedent. If the precedent is not good, if the bar is low, let's raise the standard. Let's raise the standard. Don't settle. Don't settle for something low. So in closing, my encouragement to each of us this morning is to make and to set, to have Jesus as our precedent. He is the high bar that we should attain to reach. He is the one that we should strive and aspire to become like in every area of our life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think about the standard of truth of the Word of God, as we think about the life of Christ, as we think about these practical areas in all of our lives, as we live in a world that is real, that is tangible, that has those fiery darts that Brother David shared about, that has those struggles and those temptations and those lures and those things that are very real and that would so readily draw us and lure us and pull us away. God, we see, we know, we understand these things. But we also know the God that we serve. We know the power that you have. We know the ability that all of the gifts and the resources that are in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would give us eyes to see that. We pray that you would help us to raise that bar in our lives, in every area, Father, in personal purity, in personal devotion to God, in love, in commitment, in devotion, in service, in humility, in brokenness, in all of these things, Lord. That our desire and our pursuit and our aspiration would be to become like you, to have the heart of God. God, keep us from settling. Help us to raise that bar, to have a precedent that is high, and to have a desire, a pressing into, a marching on. Lord, give us hearts that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Father, we pray that you would lead us on. In Jesus' name, amen.